Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Being persecuted for one's faith is not new. We see it in regard to the nation of Israel, for doing the will of God, being used by the Lord for His purposes. Israel suffered. And we also see through the faith in Messiah Yeshua that early believers, many were put to death. They too were persecuted and many scattered because of the intensity of the persecution. And when we look at the psalm that we're going to study and this section of that psalm, once again, we see that when one is committed to the Word of God, His statutes, His commands, His precepts, those people suffer. Take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Psalms and Psalm 119. The book of Psalms 119. What we find here in this section is an individual that, as we have seen throughout this 119th Psalm, the psalmist is committed to the law of God, the instructions of our Lord, those things that God commands us to do. And we begin in verse 161, and we speak here about those who are noblemen or leaders. The word that appears here, actually the first word in this verse, is a word for a cabinet official. Usually it refers to someone who is a government official with extended power, someone who has much authority. And therefore he says, these leaders, they persecute me. And notice, the next word is the Hebrew word chinam. Now, in modern Hebrew, this is a word that can be thought of as without cost or free. Here, it's a word that means without cause. There is no righteousness in these individuals persecuting this one. They're doing it without reason, without cause. They're doing it because they hate justice and righteousness. And we'll see that clearly in a few moments. And then he says, and from your word, and he uses a word, pachad. Pachad is a word for fear. And what he's saying here is that his heart, literally he says, my heart fears from your word. Meaning he gives the word of God priority in his life. And we could pause for a moment and ask ourselves a very important question. Does our life give priority to the Word of God? If we do, we can expect to be persecuted. And as we move closer and closer to the end times, and we are, we can see already that Antichrist spirit that is functioning in the world. And we see more and more how the world and more governments of the world stand in opposition to the truth of this book. They don't like the Bible. And when we take the position of the scriptures, and when we stand for the message of the Bible, we are going to be called haters, bigots. They are going to say that we are offensive, that we are individuals that behave in a way that is oppressive. In reality, when we look at individuals who are not keeping the Word of God, that violation of the Word of God brings about oppression. So get ready for greater persecution to come. And we move on to verse 162, where the psalmist says, I rejoice. It's a word of happiness or gladness. And what makes him happy and glad? He says, I rejoice concerning your word. As one who finds, and the next word, shalal, is usually related to the spoils of a victor. There's a war that takes place, the enemy is defeated, and the victors come and take the possessions of those who have been defeated. We all know the English expression, to the victors go the spoil. Well, this is what this word refers to, a windfall, a great, great payment of wealth to the victorious army. And he says here, that I rejoice, I am glad, I am happy concerning your word as one who finds great, not just spoils, but great spoils. And here we're talking about something that relates to that which has to do with abundant wealth. This is what the word of God is teaching us. Move on to the next verse, verse 163. We see something else. He says, I hate falsehood and I abhor. And here, this next word for abhorring speaks about that which is an abomination. So he abhors that which is false, that which is an abomination before God. And again, what we see here is this. What the world wants to embrace, God calls oftentimes an abomination. And therefore, we need to ask ourselves, whom do we serve? Who is our Lord? Whose authority are we going to recognize with faithful actions and being submissive? Here, this one says falsehood, and this world that we're living in is becoming more and more false. There's confusions, and even what is known scientifically without any ability to dispute that, people don't want to admit what science demands. They want to take a rebellious position against God's order that God has created, for example, every human being to be either male or female. And obviously, science does not allow for one to go and become that opposite sex. It's something that cannot be done. It's a falsehood. And here the scripture says, I have hated falsehood and I abhor it, meaning everything that is false. He sees that which is false as an abomination. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, your law, and it's the word Torah, your law I have loved. Now, if we understand what the scripture is saying, we need to be people that hate certain things, and we need to love other things. It's because we are committed to God that we love righteousness. We love justice, and therefore we hate injustice and we hate unrighteousness. That which is against the law is unrighteous, and we know that this Antichrist I mentioned a few moments ago about that Antichrist spirit. Well, that Antichrist spirit is a lawlessness. He is the man that literally the word of God says is against the law. And why is that? Because he hates righteousness, because righteousness is a key foundationally to manifest the glory of God. Move on to verse 164. He says, seven, and the implication is seven times in a day, I praise you. Now, remember, the number seven relates to holiness. And what he's saying here is that seven times a day I praise you. And the context is God's holy purposes. God is holy, and therefore his will, his purpose is also holy. And we need to praise him for the purposes that he has given us, what he commands us to do and what he commands us not to do. So again, verse 164, seven times in a day I praise you concerning, notice this, concerning your righteous judgments. And again, God's judgment is a good thing. God's evaluation of something is right and righteous. Therefore, God's righteous judgments, what do? I've said this many, many times in a variety of different messages. God's judgment brings about the order of God. And that's what we should desire. We should desire God's order. Why? With God's order being maintained, it is going to bring about godly activity. In other words, God's order, when it's maintained, is an invitation to Him to come and to act and to dwell there and to put things in order, to make them based upon His perfect understanding. God's will is always founded in the fact that God knows all things. So again, He says here, seven times a day I praise you concerning your righteous judgments. Verse 165. Shalom Rav, which means great peace. And again, the word peace, shalom, is connected to the will of God. I've made mention again several times that shalom or peace is what is the outcome of God's will being fulfilled. And He says here, abundant peace I have loved. Love is a word that's related to giving. A great example of that is that well-known verse, John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world. What did that love for the world cause Him to do? That He gave His only begotten Son. So love is a word of commitment, a word of sacrifice, a word of giving. So here, what we see here is that this one is willing to give. He loves the fulfillment and the abundance that the will of God brings about. So He says, abundant peace I have loved. And then He also says, your Torah. Now, why is that? Again, abundant peace for the ones who love your Torah. What He's saying is this, that those who embrace the law of God, who love the law of God, they're going to receive abundant peace. And that means they are going to be recipients of the will of God and the outcome of God's will, which is blessings and His promises. So let me read this correctly. Shalom Rav, abundant peace, le ohavei Torahtecha, for the ones who love your law. And then He says, there is not to them any stumbling block, any offense. The word mikshol, it's two ways it can be translated. One is the word for offense. So those who love the law of God, they're not going to offend. There's not going to be an offense that they're going to provide through disobedience. The love of the Lord shields us from offense. And notice something else. The love of the Lord gives us insight so we don't go into a stumbling block. We don't trip over something. So when we love the instruction of God, it's going to give us discernment, wisdom, and understanding. So we're not going to make mistakes. We're not going to fail. We're not going to stumble. But rather, there's going to be success. What is success? The fulfillment of the will of God. Look now to verse 166. He says, I have hope for your salvation, O Lord. Now, again, there's verses, but those verses are man-made. The original doesn't have any chapters or verses in it. So there's a promise here. When we are lovers of the law of God, we're not going to stumble. There's not going to be offense. And we can have hope for the Lord's salvation. What does that mean? That the Lord will provide victory. There is an inherent relationship between the will of God and salvation. It's through a salvation experience. and only once one experienced salvation that they can enter into the will of God. And it's only in the will of God can you fulfill that will, that you can do that will. And when you do, there's an outcome. The promises of God you will take hold of, the blessings of God you will take hold of. That's that abundant peace that we talked about in the previous verse. So he says once again, Psalm 119, verse 166, I have hope for your salvation, O Lord, and your commandments I have done. Now, notice, when we are keeping the commandments of God, we can do something. We can have hope. And what can we hope for? The salvation of the Lord. Now, understand this in the way that the psalmist means. When we love the law of God and we apply that to our life, when we're carrying out his purposes, when we're doing righteousness, all of that is what gives us hope. It brings us into the presence of God. It brings us into the fulfillment of the will of God, and there's going to be a wonderful outcome. So he says here, I have hope for what? I have hope for your salvation, O Lord. And the outcome of salvation is, I have kept your commandments. Now, there's an inherent relationship based in this verse between your salvation and your commandments. Now, this is the problem with many who look at the scripture. They don't look at it in the original language. When you do so, you see something. You see a connection between the word salvation and the word commandments. And this is marked by the second person singular possessive, where it says, Lishuatecha, and also mitzvotecha. Now, don't you hear at the end that cha? This is that second person, your. So I have hope for your salvation, O Lord, and your commandments I have done. Now, notice the word Lord appears here. It's your salvation, O Lord, and your commandments, O Lord. The implication is this. Salvation positions us whereby we can do the commandments of God. And that is what we should hope for. The righteous hope that we should have is that we carry out the will of God. We fulfill his purposes. Look on to the next verse, verse 167. He says, my soul. Now, here he's talking about that spiritual dimension of an individual, the soul. He says, my soul has kept your testimonies. Now, remember, that word testimony relates to the character of God. Because he has done your commandments, O Lord, now he can say, my soul has kept your testimonies, meaning this, I have bore witness to the character of God. And let me simply say that this is a really big deal theologically. Many people don't talk about it, but what we have been saved to do, what our salvation experience, becoming that new creation in the Messiah, allows for us to do is to demonstrate the character of God today, now, in this world. Now, the character of God is inherently tied to the glory of God. When I behave in the character of God, I'm going to manifest God dwelling in my life. And that dwelling of God in my life relates to the glory of God being seen. When I behave as God would have me to behave, doing the things that he has commanded me to do, that obedience manifests the glory of God. And this is tied to your testimonies. The testimonies of God are inherently connected to the character of God, which when we are demonstrating the character of God, manifests his glory. And then he says, I have loved them, meaning what? I have loved your testimonies. And then this next word, me'od, exceedingly. It's the word very. I have loved your testimonies very, very much, he is saying. Last verse, verse 168. I have kept your orders. And remember, this is the word pikud. Pikud is usually a verbal order. What a superior, what he commands verbally someone else to do. Now, there's a nuance that I haven't spoken of concerning this word pikud, and that is this. In order to receive one of these verbal orders, the implication is that you are with the one who is commanding, meaning you're in his presence or her presence. Now, why is that important? Well, God, he communicates with us his will by giving us orders. And these orders are an outcome of being in his presence, being with him. So he says, I have kept your orders and your testimonies. And we see here an important connection. When we testify, when we keep God's testimonies, we are also going to be doing what? We are going to be manifesting his character. God's order is for us to behave in a way that people can see God in us. That's what we're called to do. And being in the intimacy of God, being brought into the glory of God, is a kingdom experience. That's what we're all going to have in the kingdom of God. We are going to be dwelling in the glory of God. And being in the presence of God changes us. It makes us different. And therefore, we are called today in this world to demonstrate that we are different. What are we? As I said earlier, we are that new creation, that kingdom creation, and people should behold that, see that. Look again at our last verse, verse 168. I have kept your orders and your testimonies for all of my ways. He's speaking about being transparent. He says, for all of my ways are before you. There's nothing that he wants to conceal. There's nothing that is hidden. Everything is very transparent in his life. He has nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of, because he has made a decision. And what is that? He has made a decision to submit to the instructions of God. We can say that differently. He has made a decision to place himself under the authority of God. And there's no place better to be. There's no place safer. There's no place more fruitful. There's no place more joyful than to be under the authority of God. And I'll close with this. The great problem today is that there's many teachers that stand with this book in their hand, but they distort the word of God, because they teach basically that God is available for us to do what we want, to help us with our problems, to help us to accomplish our goals, our dreams. This is not true. I've said this many, many times. What is true is that God is available and he'll bring us into his presence. He will speak to us, but we're going to hear his will. We're going to hear his purposes. And wisdom and joy is the outcome when we, using wisdom, when we submit to him, when we recognize his authority, when we do his commandments, when we are obedient to his laws. All of these things are good, and they are a catalyst for us to have hope, for us to have the character of God, for us to have discernment, so that we can see things differently from the world and make God-pleasing decisions, decisions that are going to propel us in his will, empower us to do his will, and be instruments that manifest his glory. That's what we're called to do. And when we are committed to that, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit is going to move mightily in our life to make those desires, those commitments, to make them a reality. God is good, and God wants to do good things in your life, but it begins with a salvation experience by faith in Messiah Yeshua, that is Jesus Christ. And when you not only experience salvation, but that salvation changes you and turns you into a servant of God who desires greatly to demonstrate, to bear witness of his authority that rules your life. When that's true, your life is going to be exciting, adventurous, and you are going to have access to the resources of God. Let me say that differently. God's provision, God's power. You will see things from God's perspective and you will accomplish his purposes. That's what faith in Messiah brings about in our life. Well, I'll close with that. Until next week. And by the way, next week we conclude this longest chapter in the Bible, this long Psalm, Psalm 119, as we get to the 22nd letter, that letter Tav, and that we complete this glorious Psalm. Until that time, may God bless you. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel. Thank you.